You're listening to Audacity, the Authentic Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Claire Akers, your alchemy coach, here to help you build an audacious business, one that feels as good as it looks. In this space, you will hear us talk about everything you need to build an extraordinary business, one that feels authentic, aligned, and full of adventure. But round here, we do it in a way that's a little bit different to the norm. So welcome to Audacity, the Authentic Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Let's go. Wonderful. So today I am delighted to be joined by one of my favourite people in the world, and actually my saviour, Melissa Sukia, who is the founder and registered menopause specialist at LIV. Melissa, thank you so much for being here, and I cannot wait, A, to have this conversation, and B, to see what feedback we get from this episode, because it is going to be a big one. How are you?
Oh, I'm really good, thank you. And thanks for such a lovely introduction. That means a lot to me. Thanks, Claire.
So yeah. Let's dive in. Let's get straight to it. Tell us what we need to know about your story and how you got to be where you are today, if you would.
Okay, so my background is I'm a pharmacist. I've been a pharmacist for over 23 years. I've lost count now because it's been a long time. I'm 45 years old, so definitely going through the hormone changes. And I felt it probably about 3 years ago, started to see the hormone changes in myself. I had an aesthetics clinic, still have a little bit of it going on, and a lot of my patients were coming to me saying they didn't know what was going on. They were feeling the changes. The biggest one was libido. Didn't know how to sort the libido out. They'd heard of these menopause clinics. Could I help them out? I had no idea what they were talking about at this stage. All they told me was they were really expensive and can I do anything to help them? So did a lot of research, probably about 5 years ago, realized they were expensive, about £1,000 by the time you've had appointment one, had some blood tests, had another appointment, and they still didn't know how to use the medication. So as a pharmacist, that really niggled me, especially in my previous history of pharmacy support manager and service development background and working with NHS Digital. So I wanted to try and find a seamless way for patients to be able to access this and be able to get service from specialists, A, and also so they didn't have to keep going backwards and forwards to different specialists to be able to get the service, get the medication, get the results, and also so they didn't have to pay loads of money to be able to get the results they needed. I also didn't realise how many women were struggling with the symptoms and how many symptoms there were. I didn't realise there were 48 different symptoms of menopause. So that's where it all started.
48. Oh my gosh. Now, I'm not going to ask you to list those off your top of your head, but that's a lot, right, isn't it? And I think it would be helpful in this episode if I were really honest about my own experience with perimenopause, and just hope that A, this isn't too much oversharing for people, but B, that we reach the women who need to hear this conversation as well, because I don't think my story is rare, unfortunately.
No, I think that would be amazing, Claire, because I don't think enough women realise how much of a problem it is. I don't think they're honest enough with themselves to talk about it, and they wait too long. I think they wait really bad. And you weren't in a great place, and it was really good that we could have that conversation. So I think that'd be great if you could share that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll tell it from my perspective, then you can jump in with your perspective. So I'm really lucky in that I have got some lovely clients who have been to your service over the past few years, and I was talking to them. So I work with female entrepreneurs, as you know. I was talking to them, and they happened to mention, could it be perimenopause? You need to speak to Melissa. And so I'm lucky in that I got an answer pretty quickly to what I was experiencing. So what I was experiencing was so interesting in that it wasn't the typical hot flushes menopause brain, all that sort of, like the fog, all that sort of more popular symptoms. But for me, it was 2 days a month where I was absolutely homicidal. Like my poor husband and kids could not come with me because I was like a touch paper, you know, look at me funny. I was like, ah. And then 2 days a month, I was suicidal. And I do not say that lightly, but I was just so sad, like so down. And I couldn't stop crying. And I couldn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And it was petrifying. It was absolutely petrifying. And like I said, I was really lucky that a woman who was a few years on from me happened to go, you need to speak to Melissa. And we did. And it all kind of cascaded from there. But I just feel very, very grateful because now I refer a lot of my clients onto you as well, don't I?
You do. I'm very grateful for. I'm just, and it's again, it's more grateful that you can help and realize that that's actually the issue. Because, like you say, your symptoms weren't typical symptoms. They're not the hot flushes. You don't realize that actually hormones can have that impact on how you feel. You think that it's something else. You don't understand why you're feeling that way. You can go from feeling absolutely great a few months ago to suddenly your whole world's crashing down on you.
And this is why I was so excited to speak to you, is because I am seeing this all the time in the women that I'm working with. You know, I do work with a lot of men as well, but a lot of the women that I'm working with are describing having lost their mojo, having a bit less courage than they used to. You know, it's a lot of them are working in recruitment at the coal face of, you know, kind of making sales calls and pitching for stuff and having to be kind of brave and bold and audacious all day in, day out. And they describe like having lost their fire, lost their tenacity to pick themselves up after they've had a knock. Is that common?
And all it can be is, like you say, just one knock now can just completely take you back. Whereas a few years ago, you could take those knocks over and over again and you could keep fighting back. Whereas now, you don't feel like you can handle it. Whereas again, boost those hormones back in and you can be back to where you were again. Or at least if you know that's the issue, then you can handle it better. I'm not saying HRT or hormones are the answer for everybody, but at if you're aware of that, then you know, actually, maybe I can reframe myself and reframe my mind and then think, how do I handle this better, knowing that that's the situation, and what do I do with that?
Well, let's talk about that awareness. What are the common signs in your opinion?
And this is what I say to everybody now that I speak to, and it's tracking. So tracking is so important. Start tracking everything, every little symptom, whether it's just having a little knot in your feeling, like a little Monday morning feeling, because that's how I started. I couldn't describe it, but it was like that going back to school feeling where you just feel a bit meh and you don't want to get out of bed in the morning, to low libido where you just don't feel like you just don't feel you're there anymore, or you can't climax as much anymore, or the hot flushes start. You can go from having one every 6 months to all of a sudden you're having them every night. Or it can be not just an actual sweat, but you can feel like in a meeting, all of a sudden, you just feel like your body temperature is warming up. So you don't feel like you're actually having a hot sweat, which is why some women feel like they don't feel they can go to the doctors, because it's not bad enough like a hot sweat, but you just feel your core body temperature is warming up again. Periods starting to get slightly irregular. So again, they're not quite every 30 days, but they might be every 28 days. So it's really subtle changes that are happening, which again, why women don't feel like they can go to see anybody, because they're so subtle to begin with. But all these little changes make you start to question something's going on in your body. The confidence is a big one. I have a lot of women that feel they can't drive on the motorway anymore, or they can't drive at night time anymore, and that's a big one. And again, as soon as they start being aware of it, or they start back on the HRT, off the tog, they're back on the road again and they're absolutely fine.
Wow, that's an interesting one.
It's a really interesting one, is that one. The brain fog's a big one, because estrogens, it's got 300 functions in the body as estrogen. So putting that back in again, you start to lose that estrogen from the age of about 38. Your estrogen levels decline. So putting that back in again, it helps your cardiac functions, it helps your brain function, it helps, yeah, it helps all over. It really helps your body get back to where it needs to be again. So we really need to replace that estrogen that you're starting to lack.
I think something that I found really, really helpful is being able to, it's almost like having a Melissa in my pocket and being, if I get like a weird and wonderful symptom, I can reach out to you and go, is this menopause related? And the weirdest one for me, do you remember this, was I sent you a message because heart palpitations
Oh yeah, that's yeah.
that I trace back to, well, quite frankly, I thought I was having a heart attack. I was petrified. And then I started tracing it back to caffeine, but only at certain times of my cycle. And I'm teetotal. I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I have very few vices, but caffeine, my God, I love caffeine. I love a decent coffee. And I was devastated. I was like, oh my gosh, there's nothing stopping
Sorry.
this.
People hate me for that. That's the one that I cut out of everybody. But I've actually started drinking decaf coffee because I do like coffee. But caffeine can have the biggest impact. Caffeine and alcohol, you just can't tolerate it as much as we used to be able to, unfortunately. But cutting it out can have such a positive impact on you. So for anybody, even if you have one caffeine a day, one coffee a day, cut it out. If you're starting to feel any of the symptoms of lack of sleep, slightly anxious, heart palpitations, any of those symptoms, cut it out. It's definitely something that will really impact you. The other thing is your bone health as well. People have aching bones and joints, and that's your lack of estrogen as well. So there's different things that can help that with vitamins and supplements, vitamin D and UK. But your bone health is so important as well. I have got quite a few cancer patients that can't have estrogen and their bones really hurt and ache. So it's looking, we have really long chats about how we can really help supplement your bone health. So yeah, I've gone off again, but
What about any other less common symptoms?
the less common ones, this is one that is a really funny one where the ears just start to ring. So that's a funny one that I hear quite a bit. What's another one? A burning mouth syndrome is one. Another one is boobs can get quite sore. I have the odd patient where the boobs, I had one lady actually the other day and she said, I am so happy because not all of her symptoms have gone, but she's had aching boobs for 5 years. And she tried to get the GP to prescribe something for her, some HRT, and said, no, it's nothing. And now her boobs have not hurt at all for like the last month. So she's really happy about that. So
Amazing.
you realize like what it could be, but we've got a list of all 48 symptoms on the website. So even if it's just for information, have a look on there and you might be surprised which one it is. UTIs, common UTIs, if you're having recurrent urinary tract infections, it might not be an actual urinary tract infection. It might be lack of estrogen again, and you can have just vaginal estrogen for that, which can be really helpful.
And we'll put a link to that link on your website of the 48 common symptoms or 48 symptoms on the in the show notes as well. So if people want to check that out,
That'd
then
be
they
great.
can do. What about myths that you'd like to bust? Because I think when we're talking about perimenopause and menopause, there are a lot of myths flying around this topic. This is your chance to put some of those right, Melissa. What would you want to say?
Where do I start? I think my biggest myth that I hear all the time is my periods haven't stopped, so I'm not there yet. So people often wait for the periods to stop to think that they're in the menopause or perimenopause before they can even start any treatment. So they keep waiting and waiting until they're on their knees. Oh no, it's not me. My periods haven't stopped. Periods might keep going on until you're 55 years old, but you can start HRT as soon as you get your symptoms, as soon as you're not feeling yourself, just reach out for help or have a chat with somebody, have a chat with your GP, your friend, anybody, just to know that it's okay to be feeling the way that you're feeling and it's normal.
I think this is perhaps a female thing, right? suffer in silence. We don't want to cause a fuss.
Yeah,
But it
absolutely.
feels like this is one of the topics where absolutely we need to cause a fuss and advocate for ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I think a lot of people are still scared by the scaremongering of HRT and that it's dangerous. But we don't use the HRT that was in the studies a long time ago. We use body identical HRT first line, and that's what was used in HRT. That's what the GPs use, that's what we use. There's a difference between bioidentical and body identical. So you need to be really careful between those two. It sounds so similar, but body identical is YAM based, it's regulated, it's what we prescribe in the pharmacies. Bioidentical is compounded, it's made in labs, and we don't always know what you're going to get from that. So you need to be really careful if you're going to get that, and it's often really expensive. So be careful between those two. Synthetic HRT, we tend to not prescribe unless we need to, if you can't tolerate the other ones. So there are different types of HRT. So again, there's a lot of myths around HRT and scaremongering, but generally speaking, HRT has got so many benefits. It protects your heart, your health, your brain, your bones into your 60s and 70s. So if you can take it, I really, really strongly advocate it.
Are there any other myths that you want to address while we're here? Are they the main ones for you?
They're the main ones, I think, right now.
Okay, fine, fair enough then. Well, let's look at the topic slightly differently. What could an employer do to support women going through
Okay.
menopause or perimenopause?
So we've got quite a few employers that we work with actually, and it's so good to see how proactive they are. We work with I'm sure everyone's saying, but we work with HGF and Lovell Homes, and they already have like menopause cafes in the workplace, which is really good. So they find a couple of advocates in the workplace. They get groups of women together so that they once a month they just have a chat with the staff that want to know more or want some support, which doesn't cost anything and it's great for them. And they make sure on their websites they've got information available to signpost for their staff, which I think is great. And we're always happy to support with that and make sure that they've got the most up-to-date information available on there. And I think that's the most important thing, making sure the HR teams know what menopause is, because a lot of them don't know, that they know what the signs and symptoms are. So if the staff come to them and say they're feeling any symptoms, then they know that they could be menopausal symptoms and how to help. Again, some stories that I've got that I can share with you are patients that have had such bad hot flushes in the nighttime that they have been up all night. They then can't sleep. They then can't work. So they're then not able to function at all. And this has been going on for months. So they're in such a bad state that they're just so down and depressed, and they're in tears when they come to us on the phone. And it's so hard to be able to manage that. And giving them then, so what we're doing is giving them the confidence to have those conversations with their line managers, because they don't know how to then speak to their line managers because they feel that there's a wall there, especially when they're in male-orientated workplaces where they feel like there's literally nowhere to go.
Yeah, it's really tough, isn't it? And it's really hard to know. It's hard for employees to create that psychologically safe environment for people to talk about their experiences. But it's also people, I've worked with people in the past who are just petrified of showing any sort of weakness or having their card marked with the menopause label. And it's getting better, but I think there's, well, hopefully conversations like this will. We'll do a little bit in moving the conversation, moving the conversation forward. What's the most common mistake you see when it comes to the whole topic of perimenopause and menopause? You know, what would you love to give people a shake and tell them?
I'd like to say, don't be afraid. Like, don't feel like you're alone. Like all of us, every single one of us goes through it. So, and everybody's story is a completely different story. So you can't compare it to your friend. You can't compare your story to anybody else's story, because I do not hear one single story that's the same as another. So as much as it's great that you've reached out and you've got some help, but don't feel bad or don't feel like you've compared yourself to anybody else, because no one's story is the same. Like I say, there's cycles of perimenopause and menopause. So you'll start in perimenopause, you'll have maybe a few of the 48 symptoms. Those symptoms might go, and you'll have another wave when you get closer to menopause, where some more symptoms might come and go. We've got some ladies coming through now that are late 60s to 70s, and they thought that the symptoms had stopped, and they're coming back with hot flushes and vaginal dryness, and it's another cycle again that's coming through. So I think people need to be really open-minded and be open to different scenarios.
Well, on that topic, I know that something you were really keen to talk about was that it's not HRT or nothing, is it?
Yeah.
This is a broad conversation. So, for example, imagine that there is a female business owner sitting there listening to this, and it's like bing, 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 bing. I am recognizing myself in this conversation. I've got a lot I want to do in my business, and I haven't got time for what I'm experiencing to stop me.
Yeah.
Obviously, HRT is one route, but
Yeah.
what else should we be thinking about to ensure that we achieve everything we want to in life?
Okay, I'm really glad you asked that, because this year's theme for Menopause Month is all about lifestyle, which is great. I'm really happy that they've done that, because again, in the workplace, we talk about lifestyle. So there's five lifestyle pillars, which is sleep, movement. Actually, wait a minute. Pause for a second. She's just forgotten them. What are they?
Oh, the joy of perimenopause, right?
Sleep, movement, nutrition, connection, and what's the last one? Anyway, I won't say that. I'll say something else, but I'll just talk, right? Sorry, we'll come back.
Sorry.
The main lifestyle topics that we need to focus on are sleep, movement, nutrition, and connection, which are really, really important. And people don't really spend enough time on themselves focusing on all of those and how to make sure that they're looking after themselves, making sure they're getting enough rest, making sure they're eating the right foods, making sure, and we need to really get down into each one in each detail. So it's not just about eating the right foods, but making sure your weight is under control, because people with a higher BMI tend to have worse symptoms for menopause. So it's making sure your BMI is under control, you're eating the right foods, you're looking after your nutrition. And then sleep goes with that, because if you're not sleeping well and you're not getting the right sleep, then there's a hormone called ghrelin, which is increased when you're sleeping, which then if you're not getting enough sleep, you start to crave sugary foods the next day. So then
I know
that
that one.
so we need to look after that one too. And then connection is really important, and that's about connecting with friends, family, people just in general, to make sure you're just not isolating yourself and you are having that time out, whether it's because you're stressed, whether you're at work, just making sure that you do just check in with your friends, go out, socialize, have some time out to just do some nice things, whatever that might be as well. So all of those play a part in your general well-being. And supplements as well is something that I spend a lot of time speaking to my patients with. I had a lady come in the other day. She wouldn't mind me saying, she literally bought a bag of about 10 different supplements in. She's like, right, Melissa, I'm taking all these. Are they all okay? And I was like, no, absolutely not. And she must have been spending about £400 a month on these supplements. And because they're on subscription, and because people tell you should be taking collagen, you should be taking creatine, you should be taking, but she didn't actually know what she was taking them all for, and if the right ingredients were in them all, or if it had what you need in it. So again, nutrients can play a massive role in what you need to do. We always say vitamin D is great because it's a precursor to all of your hormones, and it really helps support your bone health. Vitamin B is really good for energy. Magnesium, take it at night time. Again, she was taking hers in the morning, feeling sleepy. So take it at night time to help you sleep. Omegas are great if your periods are all over the place, you need some help with your PMS. But take supplements if you need them for the right thing. Don't just take them because people are telling you to take them. But we can really help support a lot of women with supplements if they don't just need HRT, because there's a lot to do around that. Sometimes we just have a consultation with some women about all of the lifestyle factors and supplements, and that can be enough to start you on your journey.
This is what I'm going to say. It is. I've definitely fallen foul of that. You've got to have all these supplements paradigm that's out there. And it is a big one, and we feel like we're failing in some way if we're not supplementing all the things. What's your advice for how to find out which the most important ones for you are?
So, first of all, symptoms. You start with your symptoms. Are you feeling tired? Are you feeling, if you're not feeling anything, you don't always need to supplement. Just take a regular multivitamin and an omega, and that's it. I would never oversupplement if you don't have any symptoms, because I just think you don't really need to. If you've got good skin, you've got good hair, you've got good nails. If it's your hair you're lacking, take something that's maybe got a biotin and a collagen in. If it's, it literally depends on what you feel that you are lacking. But I mean, your hair and your skin looks great right now, so I think you need to just focus on what your body needs and go
Yeah.
from.
Yeah. It's that intentionality, isn't it? Actually working out what you need and what works for you and how you want to feel at the end of it as well. It's not why not one size fits all
Yeah,
situation.
definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. So we have got a quite an interesting question that we're going to finish on. But before we get there, what's kind of one message that you would want to leave people with who are listening to this?
My one message is, don't wait and listen to what your body is telling you. If you've got a thought inside your head, do not doubt yourself. If your body's telling you think you might be having a bit of a hormonal shift, someone else is telling you, I put through it. I went through it. I waited till I was 50. I don't listen to voices around you. Just listen to what your body's saying. Book a consultation either with us, with your GP, with whoever you need to. Get some more information and just listen to what your body's saying. Because I say this to a lot of women, you can operate at 60% or you can operate at 100%. And if you've got something to do or somewhere to be, you wouldn't wait to have Botox or something else or to get any other treatment. But for some reason, women want to wait a bit longer when it comes to looking after their own hormones. So I just think if you want to be the best version of yourself, just get an appointment and get booked in and see somebody.
Yeah, this is an important investment in yourself.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah. Lovely. So to let everybody behind the curtain, I always finish this podcast with a question. What's a book or a podcast that you couldn't live without? And we had a bit of an interesting pre-show chat, didn't we, Melissa, where you said, but you're not a massive big reader or listening to podcasts. But somehow we managed to get onto the topic of smutty romance. Can we call it? Of which it turns out that we are both closet fans, I think it's fair to say. And let's normalize the conversation around this comes under the lifestyle bit, right, doesn't it? Of
Absolutely.
escapism and self-care and just doing what feels good to you rather than anything that sounds good or looks good on a CV or LinkedIn or whatever. So what's your genre of choice? What's your fave?
Smutty romance is the best way to describe it. As like, if I get 10, 20 minutes to read a book, I'm literally straight on Amazon and finding the best kind of dirty romance I can find, because when else do you get a chance to read anything like that? And it's the only thing I can actually focus on for longer than 10 minutes.
This is the reality, isn't it? I'm exactly the same. I don't know if it's a perimenopause thing
Yeah.
or a COVID thing, actually. I noticed my concentration was struggling post-COVID, but Give me a fairy, give me a dragon, give me some sort of apocalyptic future with a doomed romance, and I'm all in. I love it.
Brilliant. I'm glad you made me feel more normal straight away when I said that. I was like, Claire, don't really read any proper books that I can talk about. And she's like, that's great. That's fine. You feel normal. I was like, thank you.
It just underlines everything we're talking about, isn't it? In terms of what is normal for you, you get to pick the solution
Game.
that works for you. Melissa, this has been an utter joy. Thank you. I really, really hope that we have touched somebody that needs to be touched with this. We'll put a link of how people can find you in the show notes. People want to give you a shout come and speak to you about what they're feeling. But
Yes.
thank you. Thank you for the work that you do.
Oh, thank you. I'll also put a discount code on for Menopause Month too, if anybody wants to book a consultation. And if anyone's got any questions, just reach out and I'll help too.
Amazing. And I've worked with you for about 18 months now, has it been? It's been a little while, hasn't it? And honestly, I'd be a puddle on the floor without you. So I can thoroughly recommend. You're just a lovely person. And I know that sometimes it can be quite scary going to opening up the whole topic. And I personally think that's why women do put it off, because it's, oh my gosh, like I don't want to admit that I'm on that railroad track. But it having somebody who you can just be really honest with and can give you time to talk it through properly as well, I think's really important.
Okay, that's good to know. And I've been through it, so I know, going through it, so I know what it's like.
Exactly. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Claire.
That's it for today. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Thanks for listening. In case nobody's told you today, you are extraordinary and you're doing extraordinary things in the world. Stay aligned, stay audacious, stay authentic, and I'll see you next time.